Hey everyone!
Hola a todos.
This is Shahira.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
How is everyone doing today? Otro miércoles. Another Wednesday of y'all listening to us, huh? Mm-hmm. No, we appreciate it. Thank you for like tuning in and out.
Yes, thank
almost,
you.
Almost 4 years of Cuento Crimen. Crazy.
Oh my God, yes. This
year, it's crazy years. To think like 2024. We're in 2024 and this started like in 2020, peak COVID.
Oh my God.
Why does it feel like it's been such a long time ago?
4 years?
4 years ago, yeah. She's like, Shaw, what?
I can't believe we've been doing this for 4 years. Yeah. I feel like it feels like two.
Yeah, I would say like two probably, but like four. I mean, we're going on to 4 years. That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. Okay, so, but anyway, we're here for True Crime. We have an episode for y'all. This one is a short one, but we did want to include it and tell Karen's story on Cuento Crimen. Hoy vamos a hablar sobre un caso that makes us so, so upset. Mm-hmm. It's about a woman leaving a toxic and abusive relationship. And unfortunately, this ends very terrible, all while her 3-year-old daughter watches.
And so, as usual, we will talk about sensitive topics. Queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles.
And again, queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y a las víctimas. Okay, let's begin.
So Karen Ruiz solo tenía 35 años and she was from Arleta, LA, California. Y ella tenía una hija de 3 años. Ella tenía una familia que la quería mucho. And, you know, like we mentioned in the intro, she was someone who was starting over. She found her first start and she was ready to make the most of it.
Mm-hmm. Y estamos diciendo esto porque Karen estaba en una relación con un señor que se llamaba Herbert Nixon Flores, de 46 años, y tuvieron una hija, pero la relación no resultó y se separaron. And it was because that relationship was abusive and even physically abusive towards Karen.
This makes me so sad to hear like how many of these cases we have covered, mm-hmm. you know, where someone is stuck in an abusive relationship. So Herbert ya tenía un pasado de crímenes, specifically de abuso. And a lot of this was also contra Karen. And incluso el abuso even occurred after they were separated. He also had other things on his record, like robbery, possession, and transportation of controlled substances, and vandalism, carrying a weapon, identity forgery, and also driving under the influence. So he had a lot on his record. And he was also deported around 10 times and was part of the MS-13 gang.
So this is a big history of crimes. Mm-hmm. He does have a list going on here. And it just goes to show, too, that, you know, the abuse was going on after they separated. And leaving a relationship that's abusive is hard. And then they're also co-parenting. So it's like not, she can't really cut the tie completely. But yeah, moving along with the story, in August 2020, Herbert physically hurt Karen and he was arrested in September, so the following month. But he was let go through bail.
Honestly, they shouldn't have bail. Makes me mad. And, you know, Karen was afraid and I feel like I would be too. And so she ended up getting a restraining order against him.
A couple months later, on January 7th, 2021, they had court planned, but unfortunately, they both weren't able to make it to this court date because just the day before their court date, at around 9:35 a.m. de la mañana, Karen was going to her daycare, right, to leave her daughter at the babysitter's house in Pacoima.
There's actually a video of what went on this specific morning that we're talking about. So in el video, which was recorded by the babysitter's camera right in front of her house, se mira que Karen viene manejando and is planning to drop off her daughter as usual. And it's not a simple task to just, you know, drop off a kid. Like, especially when they're three. Like, maybe if they're fifth graders, yeah, they'll get their backpacks and run to line or whatever. But, like, as a three-year-old, like, you know, Karen has a bag. She has her backpack, you know, I don't know, carrying the baby itself.
And yeah, then, carrying the baby.
Carrying the baby herself, maybe, like, a blanket. So, you know, Karen is, like, in the backseat trying to just get everything, you know, that her daughter is going to need throughout the day. So Karen is getting her daughter from the backseat at this point when suddenly se ve que un carro comes and approaches y se parquea right behind her. And again, like, this can all be seen in the video.
And so she's busy trying to get her daughter. And in the middle of all that, ella nota que un carro llega and it's parked right behind her. She immediately stops what she's doing. She doesn't grab anything. She doesn't grab her daughter. She leaves her in the car seat and she runs to the front door. And I feel like that just goes to show, like, she knows who's there. Because if there was a stranger, like, she would grab her daughter with her and run, right?
Yeah.
So she just chose to run to the front door de la casa de la babysitter. And she is, you know, knocking at her door, asking her to open. And if you really think about it, she has nowhere really to run because she's kind of blocked in, right?
Yeah.
Because a car is parked behind hers. And she, you know, she can't drive forward. She's at a house. It's a driveway. So she's definitely blocked in. The only place she can run is the door.
Yeah. And I also, like, como dices, like, I do feel like she knew who this was because she was so scared of this person that she didn't even think twice about grabbing her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, maybe in a way she knew that this person was not going to hurt her daughter. Like, it was her who was being targeted. And so she just, she fled. Like, she had to run to safety.
Entonces, that's why Karen ran to the door. She knocked and she screamed for someone to let her in. But unfortunately, this happened so fast that the people inside the house didn't have the chance to open the door and let her in for safety. So this man, her ex-partner and father of her daughter, got out of the car and ran right after Karen and shot her 6 times. And then in the video, you can see that he just walks away and leaves in his car.
And that is just, like, it's just, it's crazy to, like, think about it. Like, think about, like, the desperation in Karen's voice, like, trying to so desperately get that door open. And then también me pongo a pensar en él y digo, why would you do this in front of your daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you not care for your daughter, the well-being of your daughter, like, the trauma?
Main caregiver of your daughter?
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. It's just, it's hard to wrap my head around why someone would do something like this, like, so heartless.
Mm-hmm.
And so, unfortunately, Karen dies at the scene. In the video, you can hear the little daughter crying. And, like, honestly, it just, like, breaks my heart. Like, she was still little, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. Está sentada allí. Like, she's probably still in the car seat, stuck. No sabe qué está pasando. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like it's just, like, tough because, like, she hears gunshots.
Yeah.
And then she might not comprehend what that is, but, like, she'll
hear. But now,
like,
you see mom and on the floor.
You associate those things, like, gunshots, those loud noises.
And like, your mom the thing being is, like, gone. Kids are like sponges, you know? And it's just something so traumatic for her to watch and for her to go through. Like, my heart definitely goes out to her. And I hope that, like, growing up, she can manage and she can move forward and, you know, still kind of, like, find the beauty in her life.
Mm-hmm. Entonces, este video was super, super helpful in this case because it helped things move quickly, right? So that means, like, the babysitter knew that she had a camera and she right away turned it in to police immediately.
And honestly, I'm glad that this is one of the cases where it did work.
Mm-hmm.
Through the video, pudieron identificar el hombre as Herbert, which again, you know, era el ex pareja de Karen y el padre de su hija. And so as soon as they were able to identify, his face was now everywhere. He was wanted for the death of Karen Ruiz.
And as his face was everywhere, they were also warning the community that he was a dangerous man and to be careful if anyone comes across him. And he was described as a 46-year-old Hispanic male with black hair and brown eyes, and around 6 feet and 1 inches tall, weighing around 220 pounds.
And 2 days after the killing, he was charged with murder, child endangerment, and shooting at an inhabited dwelling or occupied car.
A los 3 días, las autoridades lo encontraron. He was visiting family in Irving, Texas. So he is out of state at this point.
He knew.
Mm-hmm. And authorities heard and had this information. So they were executing a whole plan to capture him. They had air units and people on the ground. And they were able to locate him in Arlington, Texas.
And, you know, he was being watched, but of course he doesn't know that until he starts to drive to Dallas. And then that's when he notices that he's being followed. And that's when he decides to get out of his car and just begins to walk. And shortly after that, you know, because he's still being followed, he actually ends up shooting himself.
La familia was devastated cuando se enteraron de esas noticias porque Karen was not able to get full justice, you know, bring him to court and get justice through the court system.
Karen's family spoke out and we quote, "We had texts, calls, and messages saying that he was going to kill her," end quote.
But like there's like a lot of evidence in this case, you
yeah.
know?
I mean, the video itself, it's literally telling you what happened to them.
Yeah. And then the background and all these like messages as well.
And not relating to like another topic, but we did see this come up in multiple articles. And it was how I said that if Herbert had been released to them back in September 2022, back when he was like released on bail, he would have not committed this crime because they would have proceeded in deporting him back to his native country, which was El Salvador.
But there is a policy that protects undocumented people, and it's called California Values Act, known as SB 54. And so this prohibits law and state law enforcement from cooperating with ICE. So they don't have to turn in people to them. State and local authorities cannot share people's release dates, status, or anything of that sort. Like they can't release this information to ICE. Mm-hmm. So meaning that they cannot share information that is not public. You know, if it's not already out there, they can't share it. And to be more specific, like they cannot transfer people from their custody to ICE.
And we support that. Mm-hmm. Like that's like very different than in this case, two very different topics. But I do believe like within the case, there are some exceptions when local departments can release information. Like if it's in regards to, you know, a bigger crime, that is when they are able to be notified. But in the case of Herbert, like it wasn't a major crime, so they had no right to hand him over to ICE.
Yeah, so the crimes that he committed did not qualify. And so that is the reason why authorities couldn't release him to ICE or share that information with them because of this policy. But this is kind of like outside of our expertise. So we did a very like brief research on what this policy entails. So we're not experts. There's probably a lot more to this. So just FYI, just wanted to include just enough in regards to this case.
Yeah, like this policy does protect people from being deported, like for minor things. And I feel like that's great, like because it protects families from being separated. And so that's why like, I kind of said earlier, like, I feel like it's very different than like in the case, in this very specific case of Herbert, right? Which was like a domestic violence issue.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is right. Like this is a domestic violence issue.
Yeah.
So like if we want to like really get into it, like why was he released on bail? You know, like there's been so many reports of domestic violence in this household. Like there should be things there that could be reinforced to prevent murder. But, yeah. You know,
and the sad part of it all is that the 3-year-old does remember. It was reported that she was able to talk about what happened that day when her father killed her mother. And honestly, it just breaks my heart to think about it, like that she's actually like processing or, you know, just growing up, knowing the story of why her mother's not with her.
And not only that, like she lost both her parents as well.
Yeah.
If you are a victim of domestic abuse, please contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline. And the phone number is 1-800-799-7233.
Si es víctima de abuso doméstico o desea obtener más información sobre violencia doméstica, puede comunicarse con la Línea Directa Nacional de Violencia Doméstica en línea o al 1-800-799-7233. And honestly, we definitely encourage you all, or not you all, but like anyone who does find themselves in a situation like this, or if, you know, being scared of your partner, like that is not love. That's not how you should feel. And everyone deserves to feel safe.
So that is all that we have for this week's episode. And before we close out the episode, we want to remind you that a big way for y'all to support the show is to leave us an Apple Podcast review or a rating on Spotify. That is how you can help the show grow and help us against the algorithm. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see y'all next week.